Thank you for taking time to listen to a message that was given at the Bridge Church in Bradenton, Florida. It's an honor to serve you, and we hope that you'll grow and be encouraged by today's message.
What we're going to be talking about today, I know that every mom is going to be going, this is what I've been telling you all these years. You know, you're going to be all jacked up about the fact we're talking about this stuff today. But we've been doing a series called Hold the Line. And in this series, we've been talking about drawing battle lines in areas of our lives. A battle line, when a soldier goes into battle, helps them to know several things. Number one, it clarifies where to take a stand. It helps them to know where it is that they need to kind of hold their ground. So many people go through life and they find themselves in a moment of temptation. They find themselves in a moment where there's so much at stake, and because they have not thought about it or planned or pre-decided where they were going to take a stand, they just get wiped out in battle. They just lose the battle before it even starts. And that's a difficulty and a vulnerability in people's lives. A battle line helps us to be able to draw strength, to be able to focus our strength in areas of our greatest vulnerability. Soldiers, when they're in battle, they want to know, where's the best position and where are my greatest vulnerabilities? When they know that they've got a flank that's exposed, they want to direct their strength to that area. They want to make sure that they don't get defeated. And so a battle line helps them to do that. It helps them to know, okay, this is where we need to move. This is where I need to draw a battle line in my life. And the last thing that a battle line helps us to do is to protect what's been entrusted to you. Now, that could be the person that's right next to you, but it also includes those who are watching you. The fact is, you and I have been entrusted with so much. And some of that means the influence that you carry in the decisions that you make is a part of what it is that you're called to protect. Some of what you're called to protect is the opportunity for God's best to take place in your life. And that only happens when you begin to set some standards in your life about what you're about and what you're not about. That's what a battle line does. And what battle lines do, when you and I begin to set some high standards in our lives, when we start getting close to a situation of temptation, a situation of danger, a situation where there's so much to lose, when you have a battle line, a standard that you've drawn, suddenly you hear bullets whizzing by your head. Suddenly you wake up, your conscience goes, whoa, this is not what I'm about. And because you have thought about it ahead of time, you're able to hold your ground. And that's what we're going to take a look at today as we talk about something that every mom wants their kids to know. And they've watched you from when you were little. They've watched you as you've grown up. And all along the way, the moms know something about your life, a principle that applies to all of us, that when you get this area right, it's a game changer. When you get this thing right, it absolutely changes everything for you. And moms know it. And it's the area of friends and the kind of people that you choose to kind of latch onto in your life as you go through life. Now, let me just explain something right up front. We're not talking about being judgmental. We're not talking about anything like that at all. We're talking about a very simple principle. And the principle is this, is that the friends that you choose influence the direction and the quality of your life. It's that simple. The friends that you choose often determine the quality and the direction of your life. It's one of those things that every mom hopes their kids do, is to choose friends well. And this is such a big area of our life. And here's the thing. It's something that we see so clearly in other people. I mean, we see it. And the thing that we lose track of is it's so easy to see in other people, it's very hard for us to see it in ourselves, because ultimately, everybody needs friends, right? Everybody needs someone that they can be around where you're like, oh, I can be myself. I don't have to pretend I'm somebody else. You love me. I can accept you the way you are, and we can just kind of let our hair down. I can just feel completely relaxed around you. I can feel connected to you. Everybody needs that. In fact, you were wired for it. You weren't wired to live life solo. And this is such a strong craving in our lives. The truth is you and I, we crave acceptance and a sense of connection sometimes more often than we're willing to admit. And in our desire to feel connected, in our desire to not feel alone, sometimes we make decisions in our life where we're choosing friends that can either be a blessing or it can become a period of our life that we look back on. A period of a life that maybe you were just coming out of a divorce, and the pain of that divorce was so strong, and the loneliness that you experienced was so strong. Or maybe you just moved into a new area, you got a new job assignment, you're new to town, you don't really know anybody. Or maybe you've gone through a tremendous loss in your life, and there's a lot of pain that's going on inside of there, and you begin to make decisions about friends that when you look back on it, the only way to characterize that period of your life is to kind of look back and go, what was I thinking? And you would characterize that time period as the what was I thinking season of my life. And listen, we all have it. We all have seasons in our life where we look back and go, what was I thinking with being with that person? What was I thinking at that time? And the fact is it doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you bad that you've got that part of your life that you go, what was I thinking? And some of you may be in it right now. It doesn't mean you're evil. It doesn't mean you're bad. It simply means that the same principle that applies to you applies to all of us. And that's that the friends that you choose influence the quality and the direction of your life. And you just happen to be on the short end of that right now. And the good news is this, is that when we begin to understand this, we can begin to make decisions understanding how this all works. And you'll see it in other people. I mean, let's face it, you've had friends that you've seen, and maybe ladies, you've got a girlfriend, and you've seen her with a guy, and you go, what is she thinking? Guys, you see a guy and you see one of your guy friends with a girl and you go, what is he thinking? You know, and you see people making decisions. This unfolds all the time, all around us. Isn't it easy to see when it's your friend, right? Isn't it easy? We see these kind of scenarios getting played out all the time. And the power of wanting to be accepted, the power of wanting to belong can become a blinding thing for us. You see this played out in the life of the student who has such great opportunity ahead of them. Maybe it's a scholarship opportunity, maybe it's moving away, or somebody who has a career opportunity that they've worked so hard for all their lives, and it involves some kind of a move, some kind of a transition, and those people will trade in those opportunities for someone who knows just how to keep them hooked and staying where they are. And you look, sit there and you go, what are you thinking? What are you trading that kind of opportunity for such a short-term thing? Why are you doing that? Or you look at the single mom, the mom who's been through so much and she has dug down deep. I mean, she has gotten on her feet. She is working hard. She is supplying the best that she can for her kids. But inside of her, there is this deep, aching loneliness and a desire for companionship that just eats away at her, and suddenly she gets with a friend who ends up eventually kind of hanging out all the time, and he's good at drinking beer, and he's good at video games, but he's not good at much else. And inside, when you see that, listen, everybody who's seen a friend do that goes, what are you thinking, right? When you see that the husband or the wife who goes out with friends after work and their friends are single and they're talking about all their escapades and how great and exciting it is to be single. And suddenly that husband or that wife begins to make some compromises in their relationship that leads to some tragic consequences. Or the grandparent who your kids and your grandchildren have always looked up to. They've always believed in what you stood for. And suddenly they find you doing things that you said you would never do, but everybody else in the trailer park is doing it. And when they come and visit you, they kind of go, what's going on with that? Or the wonderful Christian person that you look at and you go, man, that's a wonderful person. Great gift of mercy. They're always helping somebody. But it seems like everyone that they surround themselves with brings them down, and it's just draining them all the time. Here's the weird thing. It's so easy to see this in other people, right? It's really hard to see it in ourselves. Because the desire and the craving for acceptance and relationship is so powerful that it can blind us to our own decisions that we make. So here's what we need. We need some battle lines. We need to be clear. You need to be clear about what kind of standards you're going to set. What is it that you're going to put in place? What's the strategy that you have so that you can hear the bullets whizzing by when you should hear bullets whizzing by? How do you march forward, move forward in this area of your life? It's really important because the fact is that the friends that you choose greatly influence the quality and the direction of your life. The same principle applies to you that applies to me. And it's a powerful thing, right? Not just in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. I mean, every time we do baptisms and people sign up, and by the way, in June, we're going to be doing baptisms at the beach. We got that coming up. And yeah, woohoo! That's always a fun time. And when people make that decision, when they go, you know what, I believe Jesus died on a cross for my sins. He is my Savior. I want him in my life. And you make that decision to get baptized. You know what we always ask? Who was it that had the greatest influence on you in helping you to put your faith in Jesus? And if they go, oh man, Bob, the guy I work with, he's just helped me. He's just really encouraged me. And he's awesome. We'll go, great, Bob's going to baptize you. We'll be there, we'll help, but Bob's going to baptize you. And it's always this wonderful reminder of the power of relationships, not just in a negative sense, but in a great positive sense. It's a powerful, powerful thing. This is something that we want every child, every student, every single, every married person, every mom and dad to be able to wrap their minds around. And it's a simple principle. In Proverbs 13:20, the wisest man in the Old Testament, Solomon, wrote this, and this is a huge thing. Here's what he says. He says, let's read this together. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Right? You see that? See that? Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you'll get into trouble. Now, this is something that we want everybody. You want your kids to get this. Moms, do you want your kids to get this? You want your kids to get this, right? You got some of you kids, you wonder, why is your mom always into your stuff? Why is my dad always into my stuff? Because your parents understand this principle. And they've seen it played out so many times. Walk with the wise. You'll become wise. Associate with fools. And you'll get into trouble. And when you begin to put things like this in your place, see, this is both a promise and a warning, right? It's both. It can work for you. It can work against you. Only you can decide how it's going to work in your life. And for some, by making decisions like this, guess what? You're going to marry the person that you begin to apply this with. You're going to marry somebody because of standards that you put in place. You're going to go, wow, I'm not going to settle. I'm really going to have high standards in this area of my life. And it's going to change the direction and the quality of your life for a long, long time. And when he says, walk with the wise, when he's not talking about, you know, going for a stroll, of course. What he's talking about is learning to live life the way they live life, learning to see life the way they see life. You're sharing life together. It's like you're going for a long walk and you're talking and you're hearing their heart. And so when there's a battle line that you want to draw in an area of your life, like in the area of your finances, and maybe you struggle, maybe you stress, maybe this has been a real hard thing for you, what you do is you look for somebody who has themselves walked out of issues of debt and financial problems, and you learn to walk with them. Well, how did you do this? How did you get out of it? What were the steps that you took? And when you spend time with them and you walk with the wise, you will become wise. When you want to break addiction in your life, you find the person that they themselves have walked out the path of a recovery, and you learn to spend time with them, and you learn to walk with them, how they think, how they see things, how they can speak into your life, because those who walk with the wise become wise, when you want to know how to do marriage well, when you want to know how to get through, getting back on your feet after a divorce, when you want to know how to find the love of your life, you find people that have done those things because when you walk with the wise, you become wise. When you want to know how to run a business well and do it in a way that is honest and honors God, then you find people that have done that and you spend time with them because those who walk with the wise become wise. It's really a simple thing. And we see it for everybody else. But oftentimes we don't see it for ourselves. Well, what's a wise person? A wise person, if you could think, is this. A wise person is someone who is able to connect the dots. Someone who is able to understand that it's the choices that they make, not their good intentions, that gets them to where they should go. A wise person is someone who can tell you, these are the things that you need to do in order to get to where you need to go. They connect the dots. See, a person who's not wise is all about today, is all about feeling good, is all about now. There's no connecting the dots. They don't understand why the trouble that they're in has come upon them. They just kind of shake their fist in the air. They have no clue how they contributed to their situation because they're not walking in wisdom. So what you want to look for are people who know how to connect the dots, people that have walked things out. How many of you, when you get into a crowd, whether it's a theme park or you go to the mall, you're like a people watcher. You like watching people. A lot of people like watching people, right? Some of the greatest wisdom that you can get is not only from watching people, but learning to study their lives. Learning to look at people and the kind of decisions they make and the kind of consequences that those things lead to. Students, one of the best things that you can do is choose friends that you go, wow, you know what? That's the kind of person that I would want to be. And begin to choose them. There are people that kind of connect the dots about how to get to where they need to go. It's not good intentions, but decisions that make all the difference. So let's talk about some warning signs, all right? Let's talk about setting some battle lines in place. Let's talk about putting some things in place so that you can hear bullets whizzing by your head when you need to. Here's the first warning sign. It's a warning sign when it dawns on you that your friends are not moving in the direction you want your life to be moving in. When you look at your friends, let me ask you this, be honest. When you look at your friends or friend, maybe some of you are like one person friends, whether it's your friend or friend, when you think about the choices they're making, do you see a positive or hopeful future ahead for them? Can you envision it? Can you envision the kind of career, the kind of person that they're going to be? Because if you can't, you should hear bullets whizzing by. If you're with friends that are only about here and now, what feels good, what's fun, I can tell you, you've got to be careful about that. If you're in business and you're looking to build a career that is one that you can look back on and feel good about, a career that isn't just about making money but has more depth and meaning to that, are the people that you most associate with professionally, are they people who are building those kind of careers? Because he who walks with the wise, she who walks with the wise becomes wise. He or he who associates with fools will get into trouble. It's the same principle in a professional world as it is in relationships. This is why, by the way, that connection groups are a powerful thing. With connection groups, we have people that are all going, we want to move in this direction. We want our marriage to move in this direction. We want our finances to move in this direction. Students go, I want my life to move in this direction. I want to learn to be a leader. I want to learn to grow. Connection groups are a great way that when you look around and you go, I don't know that my friends' lives are moving in the direction where I want my life to go, you have an alternative to be able to begin to connect with people. Mentoring, the same thing. For those of you that are more one-on-one, we have mentors available. For those of you that go, you know what? I don't think my friends' lives are moving in the right direction. I want to know how to do that. We have mentors that can help you. When I was in seventh grade, this really hit me because seventh grade, how many of you know seventh grade is like the most awkward age and grade you can ever experience, right? Seventh grade is terrible for me. I hated seventh grade. And I was in Mr. Hines' math class, and many of you know I was the Asian dude who did not get the math chips, so it was already hard for me to be in Mr. Hines' class. And I felt so awkward in seventh grade, and then was in a class where I knew that I couldn't possibly do well. So I gravitated to a group of kids who also didn't do well in math and were kind of lost. And man, I was doing stuff that I had no business doing in that class. Mr. Hine finally had it up to here with me, and he wrote out a note and made me take it home. And my dad looks at that note, and my dad sits down, and he writes a note back to Mr. Hine. And the note said, "If Mark gives you any more trouble, you have my permission to kick his behind." And he spelled behind with three letters. It was amazing how he did that. And I gave the note, and I hear, and he's like, "And you give that to Mr. Hine." Now, how many of you are teachers would like, I want to see some of those notes, right? I give the note to Mr. Hine. My dad made me go back and give it to him. Mr. Hine opens up the note and goes, "Did you read this?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "It's the worst day of my life." And can I tell you something? I stopped hanging out with the kids that I'd been hanging out with. I said, I need to sit somewhere else. Now, it did not make me any better at math. There's nothing that can help in that area. But I quit getting into trouble. Because he who walks with wise becomes wise. He who associates with fools will get into trouble. And I stopped hanging out with those guys. And it just kept me out of trouble for the rest of the year, so I could move on. So it works for all of us. It can work for us or against us. Here's a second warning sign. You find yourself considering doing things that were never a temptation to you before. In fact, they might have been things that you were at one time like, "I would never do that. That's dumb." And suddenly you find yourself in a situation where suddenly, because you like the people that you're with so much, that the very thing that you always said, "That's dumb," suddenly becomes a very viable option to you. And you just kind of find yourself in that situation where your standards have been lowered. Let me tell you something. Nobody, very rarely, I should say, does anybody smoke their first cigarette by themselves. Chances are, for those of you that have done it, you didn't smoke your first joint by yourself. See, the power of wanting to be accepted often leads us to lowering our standards, even as adults. Finding ourselves doing things that we go, "I thought I would never do this, but suddenly it seems like a good option to you." And you know, this is how really some fraternities and sororities that you read about, you go, "How can they do this?" You know, when you read about hazing incidents and the things that have happened, because they understand something. Even if they don't think about it, they do understand that the power of wanting to be accepted will get people to do all kinds of things that become some of the greatest regrets in life. And when you and I begin to draw some battle lines, set some high standards in our lives, the cool thing about it is what you're doing is you have no idea the regrets that aren't going to be there, because you've simply taken advantage of this. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. And you see it. Here's a big one. A big warning sign that you find yourself trading away healthy goals and opportunities to be with someone who has no goals or opportunities. That scholarship, that job opportunity, that thing that you have always been working towards, suddenly there's somebody who says, "You are amazing, you are so wonderful." And inside, you have wanted to hear that from somebody for so long. And they may not have any opportunities, they may not have any dreams, they may not have any plans, but they see you and they tell you how wonderful, how amazing that you are. And when the opportunity comes, they say, "Oh, don't leave me." And you let the opportunity go for a short term, what turns out often to be a short-term relationship. but they said the things that you longed to hear. And you let go of something that was going to be so powerful in changing the direction and a quality of your life over a short-term opportunity. Now, some of you may go, you know, hey, maybe I'm in that situation now. I don't know about you, but here's what I can tell you. A lot of times when you're in it, you don't know it because you're so overwhelmed. You're like, oh, this is love. I'm sure this is it. You're 15, okay? It's not there yet. Not there yet. Now listen, how do you find out? How will you know if the situation that you're in, if that relationship is a kind of you're forfeiting important opportunities for, that's the right decision to make? You want to know how you know? Ask your mother. Ask your dad. Ask your best friend. Hey, what do you think about this? They'll tell you. They'll be honest with you. But you and I, we become so blinded because the power of wanting to be loved and accepted by somebody can become so blinding that we begin to trade off opportunities for someone that has no opportunities, no goals. You got to ask. Here's the next thing. You catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you are, or you hear it spoken from other people. Some of you have had friends where you've gone, man, how come when you're with those people, you're not yourself anymore? Any of you have friends that are like that? Any of you ever said that to a friend? How come when you're with that guy, you're like not yourself anymore? How come when you're with that crowd, it's like you're not you anymore? How many of you have seen friends do that, right? You know what? It's easy to see it in other people, isn't it? Hard to see it when it's us because we want so desperately, we crave the same thing. And when someone says you're not the same person, you've got to examine yourself. Are you becoming who you truly are with these people, or are you really becoming something else because you know that that's what they would like? Because if you find yourself becoming something else than who you are, that means they don't really like you for who you are. Now, there's a saying that came up the other day, and it's be who you are because... Or be who you is, because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't, right? You want people to love you and accept you for who you are, not who you pretend to be. When you find yourself hearing from people, you're just not the same person anymore. That's kind of a big warning sign. Here's the next one. You hear yourself saying, well, I'll just tag along, but I won't join in. I won't inhale. I'll hang out with them, but I won't breathe. I'll be the designated driver. Hey, great. Appreciate your heart. Your care for your friends. Not an issue there. You want to care for people. I totally get that. God totally gets that. But understand something. He didn't say, walk with the wise and become wise. Participate with fools and get in trouble. He said, associate. And there's nothing wrong with being a designated driver. But you have to ask yourself the question, at what point do I get into trouble because of what they're doing? At what point do I get questioned about my character because of what my friends are doing? At what point does it begin to reflect on me professionally because of the crowd that I'm running around with? Professionally, at what point does it reflect upon me and my reputation because of the people that I call my friends? You might be the hero in that group, but I can tell you, at some point, you will get in trouble. It will find you. You won't have to look for it. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. He who walks with people who connect the dots and understand how the choices that they make lead to certain consequences, that kind of person, they become wise. But he who associates with people who don't connect the dots and don't even care, if they don't care about themselves getting into trouble, I guarantee you they do not care about you getting in trouble. Now, every mom wants their kids to know this. And it's easy for us to see it in the lives of children. Hard for us to see in our own lives. But the same thing works for us or against us. It's the same principle. You've got to make careful choices. All right, here's another one. You hope that the people you most care about don't find out where you've been or who you've been with. When you're tempted to live a double life, when you just hope your mom doesn't ask, when you hope that your parents don't ask, when you hope that your best friends don't ask, that's a warning sign. When you find yourself just kind of going, let's just act like nothing's going on, that's a sign that you're on the wrong path. Here's the last one. This is huge. All of your friends are needy or go from crisis to crisis, and you're the one who rescues them. Well-meaning, mercy gift, wonderful, compassionate people that you are. If you look at your friends, and all of your friends are people that you continually find are going from crisis to crisis, and you're helping them out, and helping them out, and bailing them out, and rescuing them, and I can tell you two things about you that I can tell you for sure. Number one, you're tired a lot. Number two, you're going broke. And what you have to do is you have to ask yourself, is this really healthy? You want to be compassionate. You want to care about people. That is a great quality. Matter of fact, don't think that we're saying, hey, you need to judge your friends and you need to kiss them goodbye and all that stuff. Here, listen, there is a time when people go, I want God to bless my life. I want a life that has the direction and quality of God's best for me. What God will do when a person begins to take that first step of faith and saying, God, I'm trusting you with my life, what God will normally do is kind of begin to change you so much that you find yourself not fitting in with the people you've been with. And then when he takes you out of that crowd, begins to connect you with people whose lives are moving in the right direction, you grow stronger, you gain clarity and wisdom, you start connecting all the dots, and then God goes, now I want you to go back and hang out with your old friends. And oftentimes we think the most compassionate thing that we can do is, I got to help, they're struggling, I got to help them, I got to save them, I got to pay for this, I got to get them out of trouble, I got to do all these things. And listen, sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is to step back. Get yourself in the right group of friends. Get some balance in your life. Learn how to be healthy. And there's going to come a time when those people are going to go, I need help. You may be in school, and you're the one that your friends go, hey, do you want to go? Oh, forget it. Yeah, I already know the answer is no. You're into all that Jesus stuff. You're into all that Bible stuff. You may be in a fraternity or sorority, and they're like, they know the answer is no ahead of time. They're not even going to bother asking you because they already know where you stand on all that stuff. But when the wheels come off, when the breakup happens, when the struggle comes, guess who they talk to? You. Because you're the one that's got stability. You're the one who knows how to connect the dots. You're the one that seems to have peace in your life and who doesn't seem to have a life full of drama. And if you are in a circle where it seems like everybody that you've surrounded yourself with are people that are constantly needing to be rescued, constantly needing to be bailed out, constantly calling you all the time, and you just feel like you're being drained all the time, probably what's at the center of that is a deep, deep craving to be loved and accepted, and your self-esteem is low enough that you're just going to surround yourself with people that you feel like you're in more control over than they are. And it's a very unhealthy thing to do, where the only way that you feel good about you is if you rescue somebody else. There's something going on inside of you, a craving that is being unmet, and you can't stay there. If that's what your circle of friends looks like, it's time to ask yourself, is this really healthy, and can I really live very long like this? The best thing you can do for the people you care about is get some balance in your life. Learn how to live life well by walking with wise people so that when your friends hit bottom, you'll be able to show them the path to walk down. That's what you'll be able to do. Now, I know some of you are sitting here today, and you're like, did my mom call you? Did someone doing this? Did you like my mom? Did she like send you an email or something and, you know, give you this? No, your mom didn't call me. But your mom right now is going, preach it. And maybe you didn't have a mom that cared enough about you, or maybe you don't know who your mom is. Here's the good news. You've got a Heavenly Father who absolutely is cheering you on. You've got a Heavenly Father who is saying, look, here's how it works. Walk with the wise. You will grow wise. Do that. And here's the thing, you can do it. You can. And one of the greatest things that you and I can do is say, give me eyes to see what's wise, God. Give me eyes to see what's wise. Some of you are at a critical point in your life, or maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you've got some big decisions to make and you feel very isolated. Maybe you're coming out of something that was so painful and you're craving connection. It's a very vulnerable time for you. This is the time to say, God, give me eyes to choose what's wise. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you would. As I was talking today, was there someone that came to your mind, a face, a name? Someone that you realize, they're not good for me. It takes courage to make some changes. It's not being judgmental. It's not being harsh. It's being wise and choosing wisdom. Is there someone who comes to mind that if you could disentangle yourself from them, you would? That when you think of your relationship, you're like, it's so complicated. We've got so many things enmeshed. Do whatever it takes. Does it make you evil? Does it make you bad because of the decisions that you made? It just means that the same principle that applies to all of us applies to you. But you can make good choices. Do you need balance in your life? Do you need to surround yourself with some healthy people so that you can become healthier and then truly help people? Are you willing to step out of your insecurity and be with people that seem to have it together in areas of their lives and just let them love you? When you look at your friends and the path that they're on, can you envision a beautiful future for them? If not, it's time to change. But either way, do whatever it takes to make the changes you need to make. Because you got a Heavenly Father who says this, walk with the wise, and you will become wise. Associate with fools, you'll get in trouble. So choose those who are wise. Be the kind of person who's wise. Father, thank you so much that you care about us and the quality of life that we are able to experience. Father, you know the craving of our hearts for love. And it's the very thing that you offer us, not only through Jesus, but through one another. And so, Father, right now, I just pray for courage as people make some tough decisions in their lives, God. I pray, God, for vision for people to begin to feel free to dream for a reality and a future that maybe they haven't even been able to access because of the people they've been hanging around with. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for you to bring great relationships in the lives of those who are craving it. Bring wise people in our lives. Help us to be wise. Give us eyes to see what's wise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, tell God thank you, guys, for his grace. That's right. Thank you, God. All right. Now, for those of you who are new to the Bridge, we always like to kind of end with a blessing for you guys, and I believe in the power of blessing people. I believe that there is something that God can do in that. And so I'm going to ask you to stand up. It's not freaky. It's not weird. It's just good stuff. And again, once again, all you moms, happy Mother's Day to you. All right. Really. All right. Let's... May God give you the eyes to see what's wise. May God lead you down paths with people who have learned to connect the dots, those paths that lead into the best possible future that God has for you. And may God make you into the kind of person that other people will seek out when they want to get on that same path. May you become the wise person for someone. And may it be all for God's glory, all to His credit. May it be so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome day.